Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. Put on your thinking caps today. Immunity. We started it last week. We're going to do another 60 minutes on immunity. The goal, as always, to give you the deeper, more elevated understanding. What immunity meant to me 20 years ago compared to what immunity, the word immunity, your resistance to disease, why you did not get that terrible flu, why many of you succumbed, why history has shown to each and every plague, from HIV to the bubonic to smallpox to polio, there's always somebody that doesn't get sick. And there's always somebody that does. And what we do in our mechanistic, double-blind, placebo, unquestioned scientific method is we study the pathogenesis, the sequence of disease, of infection, from the minute you get it to the minute you don't got it no more. And we pay our chemists top dollar, and we import the best and the brightest to figure out the chemical sequence to engineer the drug to stuff into your body at Kaiser when you get sick. This is in part a myth. This is a load of nonsense. I said in part, because the other part is that it's a gift. Everything is a gift. Well, most things, many things are gifts from one perspective, but from the other perspective, misunderstood, used by people without the deeper understanding, then those pharmaceutical drugs are dangerous. Even your medical doctors would abide. Except for one problem, they don't feel they have an option. Personally, often, I don't blame them. I don't think they've seen the truth. And you might think it's the job of their profession to find the truth. It isn't. It's your job. If you study the history of science, public consciousness changes science. Public consciousness. Anybody that ever came down the pipe from Tesla to Einstein to Edison to the Wright brothers to Alexander Graham Bell to Marconi to Kepler to Bruno to Brahe to all of them, they always needed public support. The common man. The guy that pumps gas. That's got no agenda. And that's you. And whether you're a gas pumper or you're a retired investment banker, it doesn't matter. You're the public. And you listen to shows like this for the inside track. My job is to give it to you. Your job is to spread it. So please spread it with courage. Very sensitive about this topic, your courage, where the rubber meets the road. We're going to talk about immunity today in the next 56 minutes. Can we get you to a deeper pulse on the word? I say the word immunity. Three things need to pop into your head. Sleep, emotions, and stress. Right there. That's free. How deeply can you attach to that word? Are you getting seven straight? Do you pee? Do you wake up? Do you clench? Do you do all those naughty naughties? Yeah, they're not that important. Give me that Podwarco. Give me that anti-infective herb. I got the flu. Can't listen to that. Why did you get the flu? Because you're not sleeping. And why are you not sleeping? Those emotions. I'm 50. female, male menopause. My relationship didn't work. I thought it was going to be this way, it's that way. Maybe my dream's not going to come true. When I die, no one's going to care. No one holds me at night. It's just a rat race. I go to church on Sunday. That's a good thing. I know I'm a good person. But underneath it all, I'm angry. I'm sad. I'm depressed. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I don't know why I'm afraid. I'm just afraid. And you're talking to those adrenal glands, and those adrenal glands are pumping out what God told them to pump out. When you're afraid, spike that cortisol. Bring that cortisol way up to the top. Sure. Well, what you learned from last week's show is that when that cortisol rises to the top, it tells your macrophages, your B lymphocytes, your T cells, your NK cells to shut off, to get stupid. It tells them to slow down. It tells them to act paralyzed. Stress causes infection. Lack of sleep causes infection. When I say the word immunity, when you come to me and ask me for the solution to your flu, I think about your sleep. When you ask me, how did I get it? I think about your sleep. I think about your emotions. I think about your stress. I think about your autonomic nervous system. If you can attach to that, deeply attach to that, then you're learning. If you're listening to the show for the first time, and this is going to be your last time, it's because your head's not there. There is a depth of consciousness I'm asking you to pull out from inside yourself and get this straight. Short-term quick-fix solutions, which are the dominant message we give the American public in holistic medicine. I am not talking about MDs and allopaths. I'm talking about holistic doctors, holistic therapies, herbal remedies, nutritional companies. The predominant message that they're giving you is take the herb. And I'm not knocking it. I'm the first one to support it. But you know the agenda here. What's the other side? Yeah. You've heard this before. If you're new to the show, this is the first time you're hearing it. Hear it more deeply. Immunity. Your resistance to disease, the bubonic plague, the HIV virus, the next thing that some devil engineers that hits the world and sweeps through. Sleep, emotions, and stress. Number one. Now, let's continue. What does it mean to me? Well, it means, what is the condition of your thymus gland? What is the condition of your spleen? Is the thymus gland structurally depressed? That thymus gland is right below your thyroid, right below the throat, upper chest, thymus gland. Look at pictures of last week's show. Didn't put it in this week's show. Get to the website. If you're listening to this show without a computer, without looking at the pictures, please, please make the move. Make the jump. This show comes to life if you're looking at the pictures. If you're driving, obviously you can't. When you get home, straighttalk.cc, 2ts.cc, get on the website. Spend the 2 cents for the show, for the archives. What is it, $24.95 for 140 shows of the past and then the next 50 for the year? You can't find the change for that. Are you kidding me? It's pennies on the dollar. Take a look if you haven't heard last week's show. Look at where the thymus gland is. If that thymus gland is structurally depressed, if it's caved in your chest, if your shoulders are hunched over, if your head hangs low, if your heart and lung field, your chakra, has been demoralized, if you've had the soul ripped out of your upper chest, the thymus gland went to sleep. Not to mention the spleen, not to mention the bone marrow. As we said last week, your bone marrow is fat. Fat binds the worst, most horrid, wretched, devilish poisons known to mankind. Fat. Fat is not just, well, we don't like fat on our belly. You don't want toxic fat in your bone marrow. That's why skinny people get the sickest. Did you know that? Yeah. This was a concept that people forgot. In the 1900s, in the turn of the century, if you had some fat, if a woman had some fat on her rear end, if she had some fat on her hips, that was considered health. Hey, Jethro, that woman you're about to marry, those are childbearing hips. She's going to sprout you a family of sons. That's the way people thought. They saw those skinny little pelvises there with no fat on them. Grandma worried because grandma knew what having 10 kids could do. Well, we have successfully spawned a nation of tiny waisted females. Bravo. GQ, Vanity Fair, we love it. But we can't birth kids anymore. We don't even have the size in the pelvis to birth children anymore. So we run them all C-sect. What are we doing? The point is, when you talk about health and immunity, you have to have fat on your body, a little fat, so the bone marrow doesn't get toxic. There's a concept. You know how you clean the bone marrow? You take the fat and you burn the fat off. You burn it. You get somebody very, very low body fat, and then you get them 30 pounds heavier with fresh, clean, beautiful, raw fat. And the bone marrow starts to transfer its poison, its fatty poison in the marrow, to the fat that you put on your body. And then you take that toxic fat and you burn it off again, only you get it out through the gallbladder. There's a little ditty. The bone marrow, the spleen, and the thymus, sleep. Freedom from stress. Freedom from emotions. That's what immunity is right there. We're going to get to the herbs today. We're going to get to the magic mushrooms. Favorite subject of mine. Great faith. Let's keep thinking. Immunity. What does it mean? Something comes in your body that shouldn't be there. Can be a metal. But we're going to talk about infection. Infection means virus, parasite, bacteria, fungus, four things. And then all the little weird things, you know, quarks, black holes. Well, there's mycoplasma, there's retroviruses, there's nanobacteria. Not nano detox. Nano means very small. Nanobacteria are bacteria that are exceedingly small, that escape normal detection. Even escape your immune system. Infection is parasite, bacteria, virus getting into your body from the outside, or here's the spooky part, emerging out of the vapors on the inside. See the work of the great German microbiologist Gunther Enderlin. Talk to Pasteur. In the last decade or two of his life. Talk to Pasteur about whether or not Metchnikov, who also won the Nobel Prize, talked to Pasteur in the last decade of his life. If he saw things happen, he couldn't understand from the exogenous theory of infectious disease, disease coming in from the outside. Disease lives within. You don't have to get it from the outside. It's already there. You're born with it. It lives in different forms. And if you don't get your sleep, and if you're filled with negativity, and if your lymph don't work, and your spleen doesn't work, and if your thymus doesn't work, and if you hate your life, if you're angry at God, if you've been projecting, if you're shriveling, and then finally you hit the age of 50 or so, and you deplete your reserves sufficiently, these monsters morph out of the thin air of your blood. You can see that on microscopes. The question is, you wanted a show on the immune system, on how to fight infection. Hear the show. The question is, how smart is the bug? Bugs have different levels of intelligence. They have millions of ways to escape detection. They swap their genes. They go outside the normal species. They hide in places that we didn't think they could hide. They clump up in big mucus plugs called biofilms, and then they stick their tongues out, swipe their dirty finger at the immune system cells, once dominant and now subjugate to the giant, massive biofilm. What do you do then? You go back to your doctor and say, doctor, Mr. Kaiser, the antibiotic didn't work. And he says, well, we'll give you another one. And then when that doesn't work, we'll give you another one. And when finally you become a headache, well, then they kind of don't answer your questions. Then they kind of don't want to see you. But you just keep going back there. They don't even understand biofilms. How could they not understand biofilms? Well, they do. Of course they do. If you tell your medical doctor you've got a chronic infectious osteomyelitis and it's in a biofilm form, he'll say, well, we'll just give you stronger antibiotics, even though he knows we haven't invented them yet. We don't have drugs to break down biofilms. But research says we're on the cusp of this. Just read the literature. We're on the cusp. We'll get there. Don't worry. In another 1,000 years, just like we're going to cure cancer. We need a shift in paradigm. This is not a show on holistic medicine. Do you understand that? This show has nothing to do with holistic medicine. I don't like the word. I don't like the word alternative medicine. There is one medicine, the medicine that works. And if it means you use a drug, if it means you do a surgery, if it means you don't do a drug, if it means you don't do a surgery, and you use what we unfortunately call an alternative procedure, you do it. This distinction between the two is idiotic. If the men that ran science were like Einstein and Tesla and Pauling, Fukimi Mushigi, look that name up today. If the men that ran science and thus the medical schools and thus the medical doctors, the heads of the young, innocent, naive medical doctors, if they were like those scientists, there wouldn't be two medicines. There'd be one medicine. How smart is the bug? How aggressive and undistracted and focal is your immune system? What is the terrain? I ask you three questions. I don't know. I had about 10 flus run through the office this week, blowing their snots in my face, accidentally, of course. How did I get this flu? How smart is the bug? How did I get this flu? How aggressive and undistracted was your immune system when you were exposed to the virus? How did I get this flu? What is the terrain? What's your pH? What does the inside of you look like when that flu came in? How did I get this flu? What's the chemical intelligence? How smart is the bug? How many other bugs did you have? How many other biofilms did you have? The great triad of concern. How smart is the bug? How aggressive is your immune system? What is the terrain? Are you anemic? Where's your gut ecology? Where's your cortisol? That's the difference between life and death. Do you move your lymph? Are you in a precipitated, are you in gross precipitation? Are your pHs between your cells acidified to the point where you precipitate granular, you precipitate out of soluble intercellular fluid granules? Granules that the immune system sees, attacks, creates an inflammatory response, lays down fibrin, and turns the space in between your cells, the space in between your cells, into a deep, dark, dirty, sludgy swamp. What does the virus see when it gets in? What does the parasite see when it gets in? What is the terrain? End of show. I'm going home because it doesn't need anything more. If you can take what I said into you deep. All right, let's back up a little bit. What does an antibiotic do? I'm going to tell you maybe later. I'll tell you what it doesn't do. It doesn't do what your immune system is supposed to do to finish the job. The antibiotic just slows down the bug, and they work, and they are a blessing. Do you hear me? Antibiotics are a blessing. At the turn of the century, we didn't have them. A ton of people died of pneumonia. A ton. Your grandparents, my grandparents, they had access to the cleanest and best of the herbs before the 1900s. All over the world. But we had jungles in 1900 that were still unexplored. So don't talk to me about how we didn't have herbs then. Where were the herbalists? The medical doctors weren't using drugs. Where were the herbs that the medical doctors would have loved to have used at the turn of the century, 1900, to cure pneumonia? They weren't there because the herbs weren't working. It never worked that way. Health was always beyond the topical infusion of the drug or the herb. So it didn't work then, it doesn't work now. Same theme, different script. Back then you gave someone herbs, today you give somebody drugs. Doesn't matter. But just as long as we're on the topic, antibiotics don't finish the job. They initiate the job. They wait for your immune system to get caught up. They help. They help significantly. And they're a life, they are a godsend when you need them. But for all the cases of chronic infectious disease, for all the cases of acute disease, I saw this week a very fine family lose a mother, checks into the hospital at 70-something years old and 90 pounds, walks in, and the doctor gives her an antibiotic for pneumonia, and it doesn't work. And then it's this antibiotic, and it doesn't work. And right on down the line, all the way to the woman's passing, in front of her children, feeling helpless. What could they do? At that point, the race against the clock is not to find the microbe to switch the drug like the medical doctor's doing, as I was on the phone with him asking him to consider another perspective, another attack, another line of thought. He says she's getting her 80 grams of protein a day. That number should have tripled. She should have been infused. She should have been fertilized. When you walk in as a 70, 80-year-old person to a hospital with an infectious disease, a pneumonia, and you're given an antibiotic and it doesn't work, then you're given an IV antibiotic and it doesn't work, then they start looking for all sorts of other microbes, then they start testing for every blessed thing, if you can afford it. And by the time the week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks have come by the time you're dying in that hospital from nosocomial infections, infections that are what? In the hospital lurking, mutating, getting stronger, waiting for some immunocompromised person to die so they can attack a half-dead body. While the MDs are searching for the infection, they're forgetting to feed a cachexic person back to health. That is going to happen to you. It's going to happen to one of you. I hope it doesn't, but statistically speaking, it will. When you're in that position, you grab your medical doctor, you grab him by the collar, and you say with the force of Jesus, feed that relative, or get that relative out. You feed people to get them strong. Protein deficiency. When you have a cachexic person in a dying state, you have to feed them. And even if you have to feed them through the feeding tube with healthier foods, make sure that's done because that hospital will tell you it's verboten. Think about that. Think about where healthcare is and ask yourself how far off the course. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, 714-850-1007. We're doing a show on cancer tomorrow in my beloved class. I have one spot. I want one person that has humility. I want one person that's got enough good common sense to understand that the more you learn, the more you profit. 714-850-1007. Let's keep going on the immune system. Let's take a look at the pictures. Picture number one. You don't even have to blow it up. Just look at the big big Q there. Picture number one, that's a macrophage. Picture number two, that's another macrophage. Picture three and four, blow up picture number four. Picture number four, you see a lymphocyte. A lymphocyte, a B lymphocyte, what it does is it eyeballs a virus. And it's got a receptor site on itself, a receptor. And that virus will signal through a binding site the production of an antibody. B lymphocytes produce antibodies. Look at picture number five. Blow that one up. Picture number five, that's a B lymphocyte shooting out these things. They look like Ys, the letter Y. B lymphocytes are producing the letter Y. And that letter is an antibody. That antibody genetically engineers itself through its variable chain, through the prongs on that Y. That antibody will genetically rearrange itself so that it fits perfectly into the virus. It will genetically engineer itself so that it fits perfectly into the virus. It switches its protein configurations. Look at picture number six. Take a peek at picture six. Forget those gooey gooeys on the right. Just look at the left of picture number six after you blow it up. The antigen binding site, the antigen, that means the infection. The antigen's the infection. The antigen's the bacteria. The antigen is what gives you an allergy, the particle that creates the inflammatory response. The antigen is the virus. The virus goes right into that binding site. And where you see variable region, the variable region on that picture, picture number six, upper part, the blue-yellow area. It's a variable. It's variable because it will rearrange itself chemically to fit the antigen. That's how the antibody destroys the bug. Better yet, that antibody has a relationship with the macrophage. So go back to picture one. Now blow that up. That macrophage, it's got lots of functions. That B lymphocyte will see a virus. It'll make an antibody. The antibody will bind to the virus, and then it will bring the virus to the macrophage because the antibody has binding sites on the macrophage. Binding sites. Receptor sites. I want you to get those words. A receptor site is a big waving hand on a blob. So that macrophage is waving its hand, looking to receive the hand that's waving on the antibody. And that hand that's waving on the antibody is bound to a virus. It's trapped a virus. And it's bringing that virus to the macrophage. So the antibody's binding to the virus, and then the antibody's binding to the macrophage. Now the macrophage, because it's one great big fat blob, it's an amoeba. It engulfs the virus and its lysosomes inside. Its lysosomes, its lysosomic peroxides. The macrophage makes hydrogen peroxide and it dissolves the virus. It eats it, or the bacteria, or the parasite. And we all live happily ever after. That's called chemical intelligence. Chemical intelligence. The immune system, from the macrophage to the B lymphocyte producing its antibody, to the T cell, helper T cell, to the NK cell, they're all talking to each other chemically. They're doing dances for each other. They're seducing each other. They're getting each other's attention. This is all under the eye of God. How did we ever take God out of the picture? We are paying for our arrogance. We need a new medicine, and it's not alternative medicine. Alternative medicine too often debases itself. We need a medicine that respects science, exalts it to the high crescendo of what it is. And all people, alternative practitioners and classic allopaths should get that one, come together, and start delivering therapy. Look at that dance. Go to the bottom of the picture there. I had my tech. She's just wonderful. I have somebody put this up in an hour. I write it in an hour, hour and a half, and somebody puts it up. It's just art. Look at that. Antigen processing. Go to the bottom of that, all those squares, and go to the bottom. Look at that moving picture there. Sorry if you can't see this. Get to the website. Look at that macrophage. It attracts a T cell. And that T cell goes and talks to the B cell. And that B cell is dumping those antibodies onto the bacteria, which the macrophage is holding by the throat. Look at that. If that's not biochemical intelligence, if that doesn't mean there's something divine there, if you can't see God there, I don't know if you're human, honestly. Your DNA has got to be different than mine if you can't see God in that. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what to say. Tell me. Take the Medici Challenge. If this is the first time you've heard this show and you can't get excited about this, get on my website and comment. Tell me I don't get this, Dr. Medici. Go ahead, scream. It's too complicated. It's not. How can you miss? Look at that. That's astounding to me. Now, if you're sympathetic dominant, that's not happening. Psychoneuroimmunology. Call up UCLA and go, "Hi, Mr. UCLA, I am John Smith. I'd like to go to the Department of Psychoneuroimmunology because my doctor told me that my disease is psychosomatic." They've got a whole wing there. Somebody gave them $100 million. Of course, we knew emotions created disease because they paralyzed the immune system. We knew that, I'd say, at least 6,000 years ago. The Old Testament knew it. So now we just figured it out about 20 years ago because we had a microscope large enough and precise enough to see a nerve fiber on a macrophage. Did you hear what I said? What we knew in our soul 6,000 years ago in the Old Testament, or however long you think that book goes. Yes, and Moses did live to 900. I have no doubt. I am a literalist for both those books. We had an understanding of this. We've always had an understanding of this. And you could not go to your medical doctor 50 years ago, 40 years ago, and say, "My sadness is creating disease." That was a non-scientific statement. Until 20 years ago, 15 years ago, somebody took a picture of a nerve fiber on an immune system cell, and now it's mainstream intelligence in the hallmarks of science that the emotions affect disease. It hasn't made its way to Kaiser. It hasn't made its way into the function of medicine. But if you sat a medical doctor down on break and whispered it to him, he'd whisper back, "You're right." That's how behind the curve we are. So where's your guts then when you're talking to your doctor at the hospital? Why are you succumbing each and every time they tell you to do things that are stupid? How many times do people make idiots out of you and you let them? Do you understand this is going on regularly? Don't tell me you're into holistic medicine. Don't tell me until you learn to navigate your dialogue with your doctor. Navigate it. You're scared. I see it on your faces. I hear it in your voices. You're getting ripped off, and you haven't figured out how to weather the storm. You're still talking to daddy in a white coat. Basically, that's it. Don't do that. These guys are naive. Their science is not science. It's not an exalted science. It's not a science that has creative spirit in it. It's a science that's dead and it gets you dead. Look at that picture. Just love it. Okay, so the macrophages are talking to the B lymphocytes that are producing antibodies that are in conjunction with the T cells. Then, of course, there are the NK cells. Picture number 10, look at that NK cell. These are the warriors. You say immune system, what governs the aggression, the aggressivity of those warriors? We can even measure these. Look up NK cell aggression tests, cytotoxicity tests. We can even measure the aggression of these cells. You talk about doing something like the HCL therapy. You can see. Read the book, Guy Bryant's book. Read it. I've got it right here. Hydrochloric acid and mineral therapy, why Walter Bryant Guy, MD, 1930. 3 years of hydrochloric acid therapy. 1935, Roy Huntsman. The medical doctors back then were talking about it. What happened, Joe? What happened, gentlemen? If you do HCL therapy, your macrophages become aggressive. They go from dead. They go from sluggish. You see, we only see it in black and white. That's the problem. We're extremists. Extremists. The white blood cell count is low. This concerns me. The white blood cells are barely moving. This concerns me. No, it's the white blood cells don't have a knockout punch. It's the minute they see a cancer cell, the minute they see a virus, the minute they see a bacteria, the minute they see a parasite, the white blood cells, the macrophages swarm like angry killer bees. When you think of your immune system, think of killer bees with discretion. A discreet killer bee, one that only uses lethal force, that only calls all its members of the tribe to cover your face and sting you to oblivion when you deserve it. If you walk up to a killer beehive to destroy it, to spray arsenic on it, and those bees are fighting for their life, and they swarm, and they cover your face 100,000 at a time, and sting you to oblivion, you earned yourself an early death. You messed with nature disrespectfully. Now, I'm exaggerating, of course, but you get my point here. We want our immune system cells to kill with discretion. Do you want a cancer cell to grow? Have you ever seen a relative of yours rot? A husband, a wife, shrink down to a bag of bones the last year or two if they're not on morphine in excruciating pain? Because your immune system didn't signal the right signal, because it didn't have the right aggression to swallow that cancer cell before it got smart. Infections get smart. Cancer cells get smart. Our immune system warriors are subject to the terrain. The probiotics, the condition of the bone marrow, the lymph, I've listed them all. Those terrains are set most fundamentally. Take a look at how the microbes fight back. Now, we did this last week briefly, but I want to do it again, because this is a lot. So you got to get to picture number 16. Get to picture number 16. Hey, we're making good time on this show today. This should be a two-hour show. We're going to make it a two-hour show one way or the other over the next 6 months. I hope we can arrange this. Look at picture number 16. That big thing there. That big thing is a virus. Okay? That big, it's got six sides to it. So it's a hexagon. Hexagonal. Hexagonal shaped bug, antigen, attacker, virus. And it's got those red things with an H that we're going to call heme agglutinins. And those heme agglutinins have receptor sites. They have chemical hands that want to shake hands with those little blue things that are sticking out of the cell. Again, you're looking at picture number 16. And those red things are going to bind with those blue things. The antigen through the hemagglutinin is going to bind with the receptor in the membrane of the cell. And those little blue things block it. They get in the way. We call them antibodies. A B lymphocyte produces those antibodies. Neutralizing antibodies block the binding to the cell. So before your virus can get to your cell, the antibody that the B lymphocyte produced in relationship to the macrophage and the T cell, look at that picture on the bottom, how they all dance with each other, under the eye of God, in high chemical intelligence, supported by your autonomics, supported by a good night's sleep, supported by a good spiritual axis, supported by healthy lymph, supported by a healthy spleen, supported by a healthy life. That moment goes uneventfully. The antibody binds to the H, and that blocks the virus from getting into your cell. The virus can't get into the cell. Even the HIV virus won't get into the cell, to a point. HIV is very clever. It's a retrovirus, whole different game. It attacks the immune system. Different story. But all your other viruses and tons of other animals, they're subject. They're dominated by a healthy body. Those are the people that don't get sick. So what does the word immune mean to you? If it means, where's my echinacea? I don't feel good. If it means that herb, echinacea, paduarco, hyssop, didn't work, golden seal didn't work, and I don't know why, you got to listen to this show. You got to bring it in deeper. This is where the smart money is. This is the other level of investment. This asks you to have a deeper consciousness. You need to conclude, when you attach to stuff like this, and your doctor doesn't, and your sister doesn't, and your brother doesn't, and your friends don't, that they lack the consciousness. Consciousness is a dimension of intelligence. It is, as far as I'm concerned, unarguably the most important dimension of intelligence, because it's where humility and creative thought intersect. Humility and creative thought. That's called consciousness. And stupid people suffer for lack of consciousness. Stupid people. You're not stupid. And I don't mean to be condescending to people who don't have consciousness, but you have to attach to that statement. Otherwise, you're going to be bullied. Because I don't know why. Maybe you do. I don't know why. There's more people of lower consciousness than higher consciousness. And that is a fact. There's always has been, and perhaps there's very divine reasons for that. I don't want to get into theology here. I want you to be healthy. And I'm telling you, you have to attach and pat yourself on the back for having a higher level of consciousness, where your humility meets your creative intelligence. And use that when you need it, because you're going to need it, because there's more of them than you each and every day. Take that statement to the bank. If you invest good money in holistic medicine and you can get that out of it, your money is well spent, because it will come out to you. So don't say you don't have the time. Don't say you don't have the money. Don't say you don't have what you say you don't have. Get on it, because it'll translate into prosperity. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Obviously, this is not the show you thought it was. StraightTalk.cc. Get on the website if you can. Listen to this show two or three times. 150 shows, about 150 shows, 150 hours. It's a health course in itself for $25 a year. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. 12 minutes left. We just repeated what we did last week. It's impossible to get it to you the way I want to. But you get the point. And that's the main thing. Now, When does it get serious? When are we in trouble? We're in trouble when antibiotics don't work. We're in trouble when herbs don't work. And this is where I want to briefly get into the word biofilm again. We've discussed biofilms in past shows. We've got a new website coming out. Just cross-link the words and look at what we've done on biofilms. There's no show I don't mention biofilms on. Go to picture number 17. Picture number 17. A bunch of microbes attach to your organ. Those microbes grow. That's number one. That attachment is reversible. Then they start to grow. Now, they say that's irreversible. That implies you can't do anything about it. Well, that's a scientist's point of view. Of course, you can't do anything about a biofilm if you're a scientist, because you might not even believe that there's God there in that picture. Jesus lives in that process. Oh, it's religion. Not religion. It has no place in science. You bet Jesus lives there. All you got to do is ask him. Just ask him. Ask them and then work. Don't ask them and not work. Ask them and activate. Ask them and activate, and that biofilm will disappear. Let's move to the science of that. That biofilm lives in a terrain. That biofilm is a bowl of jelly stuck. Stuck like a booger in between the cells of your organs, attached to your tissues. And worse yet, that biofilm will start dispersing chunks of itself. It makes satellites. It's an alien. It's the devil. It is the devil. If you rot to biofilms, and what do you think cancer is? What do you think these infectious diseases are that waste people? It is the devil. Look at it. It's an alien. It hits a tissue. It's got an intelligence. It evades your immune system. It builds a snot sheath around itself, picture number two. And the immune system can't get to it. Your macrophages, your lymphocytes, your NK cells, they can't get to it. And once it does, it makes satellites that travel. Gee, doesn't it look like a cancer metastasizing? It's not, but that's what cancer does too. Maybe cancer's a biofilm. What a concept. Boy, am I a genius. Yeah. It's all over the literature. It's everywhere, collecting dust. What do your medical doctors read, I wonder? You ought to see what a medical school curriculum does. It stuffs them with information that they forget the minute they're out, and they learn pharmacology and the steps to surgery. That's it. Automatons. You're talking to robots. Tell your family, your medical doctors, to listen to this show. Tell them I applaud them and their sincerity and their intelligence. Tell them to get a real job. Tell them to listen to this show. Tell them to break that corporate nonsense. Go out and be the doctors they used to be. Doctors that had integrity. Doctors that called their own shots. Doctors that told you what to do and got behind it because they didn't have to worry about some megalithic corporate monster that owned them. Look at that. Number three, the biofilm simply disperses a satellite that searches for a new tissue to grow more garbage on. Picture number 18. Look at that. Attachment of the bacterial cell, expansion, maturation. You see that slime layer? It even says slime. And the antibiotic. You see, they have this useless antibiotic. We'll have to change that antibiotic. We need another antibiotic. Now we need intravenous antibiotics, or we'll start with them because I'm a real smart infectious disease guy. The antibiotics don't work. Then what do those IV antibiotics do? They go down and decimate. They destroy. They demolish. They are nuclear rocket fuel to your probiotic system in the intestines. And the probiotics are the ones that will destroy the biofilm. I have an article. I posted an article from Science. Science that measures. Science that studies. Yes, science. PhDs, not nutritionists, that study how probiotics eat biofilms. They destroy biofilms. So, we take antibiotics, IV, destroy the probiotics in the hope that the antibiotics, IV, are going to destroy the biofilms. And then when it doesn't work, we sit there with our thumbs up our nose and say, I'm sorry, your mother's going to die. That doesn't happen. It happened this week. I see it happen all the time. Are we any different than the Middle Ages? Did they just change the script? It's the same theme. We're helpless. We're uneducated. We're innocent. And we're dying. And we drank the Kool-Aid. Before democracy, we drank the Kool-Aid. Well, now we have democracy, but we're still drinking the Kool-Aid. Just change the script. Love those guys on radio. I love those guys on radio that crack the nut. Love your Constitution for as long as we can do this. Protect it. Don't get caught up in 9 to 5. Once it becomes a biofilm, we've got big problems. Because the herbs don't work. And natural medicine, herbal medicine, can't destroy the biofilm. And antibiotics don't destroy the biofilm. Now you've got 1 to 2 to 5 to 10 years to recover. Is that you? I've got people coming in here this week that is healthy people, people that ran companies, people that were strong, people that were never sick a day in their life, people that were exuberant, they were vibrant, people that have been ravaged, a decade of their life gone. Yes, it's a blessing. Yes, it had to happen. Yes, it's part of God's plan. Yes, some people depart to the unwanted growth of biofilms. We call that cancer. And it's all part of the plan. So why knock it? What happened to us? When did we stop knowing that you have to fight? Even if you lose, you maintain your dignity. That's the point. You have to fight and get healthy when you're infected like that. When you're chronically infected, you have to absorb this paradigm. It's called get healthy. Not enough time. Not enough time. Look at picture number 22. Don't blow it up unless you can go fast. That's Paul Stamets. Look at picture number 23. Paul Stamets, how mushrooms can save the world. Look at picture number 24. Medicinal Mushrooms by Christopher Hobbs. Look at picture number 26. Look at Red Rishi. Picture number 27. Mushrooms. Rishi. Coriolis. Maitake. Shiitake. Cordyceps. That last picture there, 26. That's Red Rishi. Now check the last picture. That's picture number 38. Picture number 38, Journal of Experimental Medicine, the Rockefeller University Press, Gordon Brown, Philip Taylor, Janet, David Williams, Louisa Pomeres, Simon Wong, Simon Gordon. Dectin-1 is the major beta-glucan receptor on macrophages. Mushrooms have what we call beta-glucans. Beta-glucans are polysaccharides. You don't know what a polysaccharide is. You don't need to know. They have what you call beta-glucans. And those beta-glucans, find an audience on a macrophage. So you have those macrophages. Picture one, that big blob of a macrophage. Macrophage, it should be a household word now, with tentacles. They have receptor sites. The receptor site, what receives on the macrophage, the flag on the macrophage, is called a Dectin-1. It's all going to be Star Wars someday. Dectin-1. A Dectin-1 receptor. A Dectin-1, D-E-C-T-I-N-1 receptor on a macrophage is waving at the beta-glucan receptor. Beta-glucans are what mushrooms are filled with. So you eat mushrooms, you digest mushrooms, the beta-glucan in the mushroom circulates in the blood. And that beta-glucan binds the Dectin-1 receptor in the macrophage. And the macrophage, picture number one, comes to life. It activates. Clark Kent turns to Superman. And it's flying through your blood, flying through your intracellular fluid, flying all around. And before that biofilm can form, it rips it off the wall of your organ. It rips it off and consumes it. And there's lots of them. And they're aggressive and they move. That's why you eat mushrooms. Now, tell this to your medical doctor. Tell this to your husband who just sits there with his arms crossed and doesn't believe in it. Tell it to people who believe in science. Tell it to people where they won't attach to it because there's no double-blind placebo study to support it. Sit there while the men in white scoff, while they sneer down their long pimpled noses in their white shirts with their arms crossed and say, I'm sorry, there's no study to show that mushrooms. And look at Linus Pauling, picture number 37. That's Linus Pauling with a guy named Fukimi Mashigi, the Japanese guy there. That's Linus Pauling. Once the Nobel Prize, almost twice the Nobel, no, twice the Nobel Prize, almost cracked the double helical structure of the DNA, the guy with the beret. And then the Japanese guy. Oh, I got the 1 minute ring. Those guys were scientists. That's not what you're listening to when they tell you they gave their life to understanding mushrooms. Fushigi understood mushrooms. I'm out of time. How could that be? Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Look at the mushrooms. Maybe we'll do part three next week on just mushrooms. I don't know. 714-850-1007. Buy the archives. One person for the school. Make it you, if you're willing. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We'll see you next week.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.